You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
The Afrikaner Leadership Network says it is offering government help and expertise on how to address challenges facing the country. In a first joint statement of different Afrikaner organizations, the network says it seeks to find solutions to problems faced by its own communities and South Africa as a whole. To discuss this further, we joined on the line by the Afrikaner Leadership Network facilitator and independent commentator, Dr. Tiens Iloff. Doctor, very good morning to you and welcome.
Thanks very much, Owen, and also for the listeners.
Now, this, after 1994, is probably the first initiative to bring most, if not all, Afrikaner organizations under one roof. Tell us what inspired this move.
Well, we about 5 years ago, we started discussions almost as individuals in the beginning with the Mbeki Foundation, Thabo Mbeki Foundation, and eventually entered in 2022 into a memorandum of understanding with them for the sake of dialogue and joint projects. So that started the process. In that time and after that signing of the memorandum, we started meeting more frequently. And the idea came if we could agree on how we want to approach things, it would be more effective. You know, Afrikaners, as many other people, have a tendency to, we are here, we're indigenous in Africa, we're not going anywhere, we want to build here, we have formed a community, but we also want to build the rest of the country. So that's the two elements in the statement. The one is that we're here to stay, the other one is that we're here to build. So that's the background, and we've worked out that the membership and dependence and so on of these organizations could count about 2 million people, so it's not insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Now, as an individual, you always have gone against the grain, even during the apartheid era, when you defied the then government to start talks with the ANC. So the idea now is to help your own community and government with expertise to solve South Africa's problems. Can you highlight some of those problems and how the network can help solve them? And why do you think the government can't do it by themselves?
Yes. Look, let me first say that the problems we're experiencing are exactly the same problems that every South African is experiencing. You know, electricity, water, sewage, lack of service delivery, roads, bottles, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the broad thing that we share with all South Africans. So we'd like to help and give our expertise to do that, because we know that and it's evident that incompetence and corruption in government at all levels are rife. The second one is, I think that if there's one specific issue that we as a community experience, then it's a question of language, and especially language in institutions, whether private or public. And I think the Bella Bill is one example, the bill that wants to take away the powers of school governing bodies, and we think that that's a problem, and we'd like to also address that with a unified voice. The third point is that if we, let me first say that there are already instances where some of the member organisations, notably AfriForum, are doing things, and that you might remember that a week or two ago, the deputy president mentioned that he's going to ask solidarity in AfriForum and also farmers to help with the water crisis. Mm. I think there's a willingness generally there. We believe that we have expertise in our organizations, not just from retired civil servants who perhaps took a package early or is still full of energy and can help, but also we can mobilize younger expertise also. And then, you know, if you work out the problems together with the municipality of a town in the Free State or somewhere, it's not just for the sake of the Afrikaners, the few Afrikaners living there, it's for the sake of everyone. So that's a kind of approach. And The other thing that we've asked in the declaration is to try to convince the government of the day, whoever that is and will be after 29th of May, to enter into what we call a cultural accord with the Afrikaner community. And it's basically to recognize that we're here as a community who want to make a difference, but that we also have a place, and we need space to do that. We need moral space. We need recognition. Now, in the last 24, 48 hours, I've realized that the way that Afrikaners describe culture is a bit wider than the use of the word, perhaps, in the English language. In the English language, I think people think a culture is like the Ministry of Arts and Culture, singing, dancing, drama, and so on. For Afrikaners, it's always been slightly more. It's where we live, how we live. Where do our children go to school? What is their language and instruction? Our churches, our old age homes, and things like that. So it's not just a small aspect, and it has political implications in the sense that we want to say that there are things that we want to change, but that we want to change also for others, like service delivery.
Mm-hmm. Talking about service delivery, there's a number of issues, and the organizations in your network have signed a declaration that focus on 12 key concerns. Does that include that, and can you tell us more about those concerns?
Yeah, let me first say that the 12 issues are not so much concerns than they are statements of belief, sort of points of departure. And many of them try to verbalize exactly what I said about we are here to stay, we are here to build. Only the last one asked for the court. So the type of things that we are saying is that we're indigenous, we want to stay and contribute. Cooperation is in everyone's interest for the freedom, safety, and prosperity. We endorse the equality, equal worth of all communities. We make a strong point that although we acknowledge that there's been in the past conflict between communities, and this is sort of a code word for apartheid, we take the pain of especially black South Africans seriously. But we also say that we think it's more important to look through the windscreen of a car than perpetually looking at the rearview mirror. So that's the sort of metaphor we use. We talk about unity in diversity, in that we say we shouldn't be seen as sort of tracking lar, as the Afrikaans expression goes, but we can only as a community help if we are a community and if we're allowed to be a community. And then we make the point that at the moment we feel that we meet with the government and the ANC every 5 years before an election. They call us for a meeting, and they, as we put it, they give us tea, sympathy, and a firm handshake, and then we see them in 5 years again. Whereas other communities have the mechanisms, like the Jewish community with the Jewish Board of Deputies, or the traditional leaders. Now, other traditional leaders meet four times a year, and they meet with the president at least once or twice a year, and so they can sort out certain problems there, and we believe we don't have that access. We don't therefore say that democracy is failing for us. We cherish democracy, but we think that a cultural minority like us, as elsewhere in the world, must be acknowledged together with others. We're not asking special treatment, but we believe that channel has been broken, and we want to repair it and ask for that accord. And in a sense, what we're saying is that we don't want to see government only in press statements where we condemn them or in court cases. We think we can sort things out and make a contribution.
Yeah. So when are you having your next cup of tea? Have you already reached out to government about this initiative? And is there timelines? And what is their response to it?
Obviously, we've only made this public. We have sent it to all political parties, also to the government. We had two interesting, call it almost divergent views from the government. The presidency said that they don't see any need because we have a constitution and cultural rights are being catered for in the constitution. Mm-hmm. I believe that was a statement made out of ignorance because of the culture issue and what we want to do. But interestingly enough, the ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula yesterday came out, and it may be, you know, it's election time, but he said no, they welcome it and they would want to talk about it. Now, we understand that to talk now before an election is probably not good for us or for the ANC government, and therefore we say let us wait until the 29th of May and probably another 2 weeks, because you'll know that the parties have, in terms of the Electoral Act, 2 weeks to decide their coalitions. Mm-hmm. And so we think that once a new government has been sworn in and taken their seats, we would then reach out to them. And I would imagine that would be towards the end of June only.
Dr. Yeloff, all the best of luck.
Thank you very much, Elvis.
Dr. Tien Zieloff, the facilitator and independent commentator of the Afrikaner Leadership Network.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.